This semester, the Boulder Reporting Lab teamed up with graduate students at CU Boulder's Center for Environmental Journalism to document the aftermath of the firestorm that destroyed 1,000 homes in Boulder County. Joining me live in the studio are Stacy Feldman, founder and publisher of Boulder Reporting Lab, and two CU students, Zen Iqbal and Ali Branscombe. They are two of seven students who participated in a reporting project between the Boulder Reporting Lab and the Center for Environmental Journalism. Thank you all for coming into the studio this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning.
The Boulder Reporting Lab is still a relatively new addition to the local media ecosystem. Stacy, can you let listeners know what Boulder Reporting Lab is all about and how it started?
Sure. So Boulder Reporting Lab launched exactly 1 year ago as the only digitally native nonprofit newsroom in Boulder County. And our mission is to try to fill the gaps in public interest journalism. And we do so through a morning newsletter. And we focus really on providing vital information for people each day, and also on the complete opposite end of the spectrum to do in-depth reporting that really scratches beneath the surface, like this project on the Marshall Fire.
And how did this project come about? What is the link with the Center for Environmental Journalism?
So immediately in the aftermath of the fire, our small team at Boulder Reporting Lab began digging a bit into the health impacts of the fire. Invariably, after a wildland urban fire of this sort, there are impacts to the water systems, to the air we breathe, and to the soil. And as we began to do some initial reporting, we realized the story is too big for our small team to handle. So I approached the directors of the Center for Environmental Journalism to see if they would want to collaborate on really beginning to explore what was happening. We had learned that scientists all across the Front Range were mobilizing to begin to study the impacts, in part because these fires, these types of fires are increasing with climate change, and there are enormous gaps in the science, and people need to understand what is happening all around them, in part to understand, should we return? Should we rebuild our homes? And we came up with this idea of creating a course, a semester-long, what we call a pop-up newsroom that would be for graduate students to really hone in on this topic of health impacts for four straight months.
And two of those students are here in the studio with me, Zen Iqbal and Ali Branscombe. Tell us about your work on this project and some of your big takeaways.
So this is Zen. One of the biggest takeaways as far as the project goes is the fact that we, you know, we interviewed dozens of homeowners. We interviewed a lot of different scientists, which Ali can speak to. And we just covered a lot of ground. And there was a lot of people who were willing to talk to us about their own experiences as survivors of standing homes. So standing homes are these individuals whose homes may have been damaged by smoke, but they didn't completely burn down. And so they're sort of in this limbo. And we discovered there was a lot of this limbo throughout our reporting. And so we took the opportunity to dive into that and explore a lot of the science and insurance remediation techniques that were used, and just sort of see where the gaps were in this story. And we found a lot of gaps.
And Ali, you can speak more to the scientific angle on this. What's wrong with having a standing home that might be smoke affected?
Yeah, so I had the pleasure of speaking to several atmospheric chemists, and the big takeaway is the home is like a sponge. It is not a unique environment separate from the outside, so it essentially breathes in what's outside. During the Marshall Fire, there was a massive smoke plume with hurricane-force winds, 80 mile per hour winds, sometimes 100 mile per hour gusts. That was all billowing into homes, and so that brought in with it a lot of compounds that are toxic, and also heavy metals and particulates like char, soot, and ash. So people who are returning to their homes might be living with these. Ideally, remediation companies are cleaning all of that up. And we know that air quality can self-cleanse fairly quickly within a couple months. But those particulates that get in there and those heavy metals, those have to be physically removed. And if you don't do that really carefully, you are potentially living with those toxins indefinitely.
Were there any recommendations or topics that Marshall Fire affected residents brought up repeatedly in interviews that could serve as the basis for policy changes?
I would say there is a lack of a national standard for remediation cleaning. We see that there are scientists and industrial hygienists, experts in multiple fields, that are requesting these standards that can be the basis for insurance companies and remediation companies to use and say, this is what a clean home is supposed to be. But right now, there is no standard. And so what homeowners are experiencing is essentially, they feel like it's an arbitrary process. And unfortunately, without a standard to point to, then it really is an arbitrary process.
Zen, is there anything else that you'd like to add? And I'm kind of actually curious, why environmental reporting specifically as a beat at CU?
So I think one thing that we'd like to add, and this ties into the environmental reporting aspect, is, you know, a lot of these homes that were affected, these standing homes, many of the people we talk to, these are well-resourced people. These are people who have access to nonprofits and government access, government officials who can give them support. Yet they still had to sometimes navigate through this system that prevented them from effectively cleaning their homes. And so what we're thinking is, if these well-resourced people have trouble navigating it, imagine if this happened to a community that doesn't have the resources, right? And that's part of the environmental justice aspect of this story, is that saying, look, these wildfires are going to happen, these wildland-urban interfaces are going to happen more often in the future, and we need to look at the less resourced communities and how this is going to affect them.
Stacey, I'm going to throw this back to you. Where can people find more information about this reporting project?
You can go to our website, boulderreportinglab.org. You will see a number of stories that are titled No Return.
My guests today have been Stacey Feldman, publisher and founder of Boulder Reporting Lab, and CU graduate students Allie Branscombe and Zen Iqbal from CU Boulder's Center for Environmental Reporting. Thanks to you all for coming in today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.